Going beyond Miss Manners. When it comes to dinner parties, Jesus is not Miss Manners. But it is not because he did not get enough practice. You see, Jesus and his disciples eat their way throughout the Gospels. They go from place to place, house to house, one meal after another, always looking for the next invitation. Most of us cannot imagine not knowing where we will get our next meal from. But even at that, it is surprising that Jesus would eat at a Pharisee's house. You see, the Pharisees had criticized Jesus for blasphemy because he forgave sins. They had criticized him for uncleanliness because he ate with sinners. They had criticized him for working on the Sabbath because his disciples had plucked grains of wheat from the field. So as dinner begins this day, the Pharisees are watching Jesus very carefully. If we were in Jesus' place, we would probably be on our best behavior, careful not to talk with food in our mouths, all that kind of stuff, or our elbows on the table, or leaning on our arms, or coming to the table playing on our phone and not talking to people. Do we ever see that happen? All that kind of stuff, we would probably be on our best behavior. But see, dinner at a wealthy Pharisee's house, you knew what the rules were. You RSVP'd within a reasonable amount of time. You brought a suitable gift. You do not unfold your napkin until your host does. You use napkin only to gently blot the corners of your mouth when needed. You use your utensils from the outside in. You do it correctly. You do not push your plate away when you are finished. You place your fork and knife at 10 and 4 o'clock angles to indicate that you are done. Now, some of us would not pass this test. Once that you have used a piece of silverware, never place it back on a tablecloth. There's another one. Do not leave a used spoon in a cup. You place it on the saucer. Never lay a napkin on the table until the dinner is over. The host is the signal at the end of the meal by placing his or her napkin on the table. And you are not to fold that napkin, to refold it or wad it up. You just lay it down. Now, I'm not sure that I would pass either, I promise you. I do pretty well with a fork and a spoon and a knife, but other than that, you know, we don't do much more. And my napkins probably don't need to be folded. They need to be wadded up and thrown in the trash can when we're finished because they're not cloth. But as we might picture it, the table is magnificent. It's beautiful. The crystal chandelier is shining. The servants are in they're there. They're attentive. Everything is going on. The centerpiece is very impressive. And the champagne has been chilled. All the right people are there. Bankers, doctors, lawyers, preachers, teachers. Jesus is invited not because he is considered an equal, but because he's a curiosity who has been in the local newspaper because people are talking about him. The esteemed guests are watching closely to see how Jesus fits into all of this. The table talk is polite, as expected, centering on the new direction of the symphony and how the buyout at the local factory that produces matzo balls there in Israel. So there's just lots of things happening. But Jesus decides to offend his guest. Now this scene becomes a lesson in how to lose friends and alienate people real quick. Jesus has noticed how the Pharisees look for ways to move up the social ladder or up the table, as this particular occasion might be. He has seen how they try to sit at the places of honor. He's watched them. Do you all try to sit at the places of honor? Think about it. Just think about when we've only had a few homecomings. For some reason, that's just not a big thing here. But it is in some places that you have to be there. Also, like on family nights and on different things when you go out deep, is there a certain place that you like to sit? Do you try to go sit with other people, or do you sit with your family? Or do you invite people to come sit with you? Or you just hang your plate wherever you can and try to eat? So what? Where do you go? Think about it. You see, people want to sit in places of honor. It says, we have been in some awkward situations ourselves when we are a guest in someone's home, standing before the dinner table, not sure where to sit. Have you ever been there? Like, okay, where do these people want me to sit at? Most of us would not take the spot at the end of the table because that is the seat of honor. Unless, of course, the host invites you to do so. This is kind of a common sense would seem to be what Jesus is suggesting here, but it is more than that. It's more than knowing what to do. You see, Jesus criticizes the guests for striving for status. He says, because basically your ideas are not up to par. When someone invites you to dinner, he says, you all take the place of honor. Then when somebody more important than you shows up, you're a little red-faced as you make your way to the last table and the only place that's left. You might as well go and sit at the last table in the first place. Then the host might say, come, sit with me. But if you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. He says you're just going to fall flat or you're going to drown because it's raining. Be content to be yourself, he says. Be content with who you are. Don't try to be more than you are. You see, you and I still live in a classed society, even though we don't like to think we do. Ethnic groups, immigrants, the poor, the homeless, the addicted, the mentally ill, the people who face uphill battles every day, lower class people, we don't like to think about it, but we call them middle class people, upper class people. We know the class in which we reside. Now, when Jesus finishes insulting the guest, he begins to insult the host. For who was included and who did not make the list? And Jesus says, the next time, my brothers, my Pharisee friends here, you put on a dinner party, don't just invite your friends. Don't just invite your families and those people that you are trying to impress. The kind of people who will return the favor. Invite people who don't have similar interests, who never get invited out. Invite the misfits from the wrong side of the tracks. Invite the least, the last, and the lost of our sisters and brothers. Invite the poorest of the poor. Invite those people that you do not know quite yet. Go introduce yourself. They won't be able to return the favor, but guess what? God will know. You see, the disciples want to pull Jesus to the side and say, Jesus, you might want to back off just a little bit because, you know, these Pharisees might be getting mad at you. First, you went after the seating protocol, which is not good. And as if that wasn't rude enough and bad enough, Jesus, now you've gone after the guest list. Our host is an influential person, Jesus. He could do things for us, Jesus. He could help us out. But now all you have done so far is act friendly and keep your elbows off the table. That's the only thing. But we won't have any more dinner invitations, Jesus, if you can't get through the appetizers without infuriating the person who invited us to this dinner tonight. You know, sometimes we've probably been in places like that. We've probably been in places where some people are uncomfortable, where some people are very comfortable, where someone says something that we might not quite agree with, and we don't know how to deal with it. Why does Jesus have to stir up trouble? Why does he criticize people who invite him into their homes? Why can't Jesus leave a pleasant enough dinner party well enough alone? Have you ever heard somebody say that? why can't you leave well enough alone? Just let it go. I probably said that myself. I've said some things like that probably this past week. It is just because Jesus understands what's at stake. What's at stake for that day and what is at stake for you and I. We have to learn that at God's table, there is no need to push our way to the front because all are equally welcome. God's table is prepared for us today and we are all equally welcomed. There are no throwaways when it comes to human beings. Christians are to honor the least among us, the poor and the marginalized that we see each and every day on our news. They're out there. And for some reason, we don't want to help. We want to hinder most times. While the Pharisees were striving to move toward the head of a rectangular table, Jesus' table is a round one where no person is better than another. We come to the table. The character of our guest list, who's on it and who's not, has everything to do with whether or not we are being Christ's church. Are we being the church? Are we being the church that God has called us to be? The followers of Christ have to learn that any table where Jesus is present is a table where everyone is welcome. A foretaste of the heavenly banquet, a foreshadowing of the kingdom where God cares for all and all we can do is give thanks. All we can do when we come to the Lord's table is to give thanks. When it comes to the Lord's table, aren't we all poor or disabled in some way? Don't we come humbled? Don't we come before God poor and we feel unworthy? Yet we are welcome as a family at the table. So what does it mean for us as the host? We are the host today. We have set up the table this morning. I did and Mr. Earl. The table has been prepared. The table is set. We have prepared the table, God's table, for all to come. It means more than volunteering occasionally at the soup kitchen or donating groceries to the food pantry. It means opening up our homes and our tables to those who can never repay us. It means inviting somebody out to eat that you really don't know that well. Not because they are a project in need of a rescue, but because God's radical reordering of our world calls for it. You see, it is time that we move beyond Miss Manners. It is time that we move beyond that to a life of radical love and inclusiveness. It is time for you and I to be the church. Let us pray.